right. Today, I've got a very, very special guest, and I'm very thrilled about this. I'm very excited. That's Dr. Burak Koyunsu. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, the last name. So I don't know what to say about this person, because you've got a very heavy profile. There's so many things you've done, but I'm going to bottom line this. So I think currently you are a senior vice president at LHH, which, if I'm right, is part of Group Addico. And you're leading the leadership and talent development business in the UK and Ireland. So you've been teaching a bit, including at the prestigious IE Business School. I think that was in human resource and in business in general. And you also were working for a strategy consulting firm. I think that was Accenture. And you've studied a lot. I think you've got a PhD in organizational behavior and HR from IE Business School. And you've published quite a lot. You've been prolific. So you've published in Harvard Business Review, MIT Sloan Management Review, LSE Business Review, and just to quote a few. And I think some of your work has been referred in Wall Street Journal, The Economist, Business Week, Financial Times. I could carry on for hours, but that's not the point. The point is you've got so much wisdom that I feel compelled to squeeze the orange so that we got part of that juicy knowledge. So I'm going to call you Burak. I am super excited and so honored to have you as well. We know each other for quite a few years now. We've seen each other on and off in London, and we both have a special link with IE Business School, which we both adore, I'm sure. So today is about a very special topic. It's a topic that is dear to my heart. But when you look also at the trend and you look at the lexical fields and the themes used in the media, there's a huge word that comes across very, very often now. It's the word compassion. So then I scratch my head and I'm like, compassion, leadership, compassion at work, compassion, success. How the hell does that work? Is it... Can you even be successful and be compassionate? Can you be a compassionate leader? Is that such thing? Or is it two different constructs? Or can it be spoused? Can it be together? So I've got just a few talking points. Going to be short and sweet. And if you don't mind, we're going to go straight into this. I've got a first question for you. What is your definition of compassion in leadership, in the context of leadership and management? What is compassion for you?
Great. Thanks, Soko, for that nice introduction and having me here too. I'm delighted to be with you and your audience today. I honestly am not an expert, I think, in this topic, even though I do write about this every now and then. What I think when I hear compassion is what I will give you as my definition, because As you know, there's so much research on this topic already, how organizations are approaching this, how individuals are approaching this. But I also see it from my perspective in leadership, how leaders can really bring compassion to work. So that's the angle I'm going to come from, not from any of my academic research or any of the research I know about, but more around what I feel is needed in leadership and compassion from that perspective. And when I look at it from that perspective, it all comes to the very single point about having your heart influence your decision. And if we put ourselves into a separate persona just because we are at work, we basically often put our heart aside as well. Compassion is somehow bringing that heart back and assessing what's happening in your environment from your heart's language as well as your mind's language. I don't know if it's one of the good definitions, but I just thought I would start with that.
This is very interesting. Just a very quick follow-up question to this. When people speak about the heart, and I myself have investigated an empirical framework that has the heart component, which is more emotions, what you feel. Does it mean that compassion is only emotional? Or is it also a cognitive component? Is it only about deciding based on what you feel? What would be your steer to leaders who are listening to us or watching us, deciding just based on emotions, or also using the head, the way you think as well, or other dimensions?
That is amazing how you raised that question. That is actually coming closer to the topics I have been researching recently, which is around the role of emotions and how they actually interact in our behaviors, in our leadership behaviors, how they interact with our logic and with others' logic around us. And you made a really good point. Is this about being emotional? Is this about letting our emotions control us? Or is this about also the interaction between our emotions and logic? Or is there something else? Maybe it's gut. You know, there's the head and the heart and the gut. So there might be a combination of all of that. What I think, again, I don't claim to be a compassion expert. What I will share is my own feeling about it is, if I'm talking about compassion in the leadership context, I'm thinking of a healthy version of compassion. Because sometimes, you know, from the positive psychology literature, there is a lot of positivity towards these positive emotions. Everybody recommends them highly at work. And then every now and then you see the research coming up about the dark side of it. And for me, there is actually not a strong dark side to a healthy emotion, but there is a dark side sometimes to certain types of positive emotions that are forced on us in certain ways or something. So what I mean by healthy compassion is when we are being compassionate while not giving anything away from ourselves, meaning while not actually sacrificing from our own personalities, personally, like, for example, to help a colleague, I go out of my way above and beyond of what my heart says. It just actually takes, it hurts me, but I still do it. And then if you do that a lot, it creates an interdependency between people. And those colleagues might really rely on you and expect that to happen. And then if you don't give that type of support, they might suffer later on. So there's the research on this about managers actually being over-caring and compassionate with their people, and it hurts them. So when I talk about compassion, I'm not talking about that type of unhealthy ways of giving. I think there is a lot of giving in compassion. You give, but actually you don't give, you don't sacrifice from yourself. You stay in a grounded place where you actually are hearing and trying to be with that other person and feel their emotions rather than do anything about that. You just understand them and be with them. So healthy compassion in that sense, I think, is, yes, about the emotions, but it's also about that balance. I don't think it is heart. I don't think it's head. It's maybe that full body, like, groundedness of yourself. You are in your own energy, but you're also willing to share that other person's energy and hear and feel them. So that is, for me, healthy compassion.
So if we then zoom in that healthy compassion, which is, I'm hearing you didn't use that word, but it's a healthy compassion that is not self-neglecting for the individual who is being compassionate. You don't forget yourself, you don't overcare, you use that word, you don't sacrifice yourself, as in that sense of you don't self-neglect. If you have that health and compassion, why should you be that healthy, compassionate leader? What are the benefits at work or in leadership? Let's talk about benefit. Why should people care about this?
Another good question. Why should people care? I could answer it in many ways. I'll start with the simplest answer. Why wouldn't anyone be like that at work, right? Because as human beings, we do that in our lives. But for some reason, we try not doing it at work. So for me, the simple answer is just to be able to be ourselves at work. It's the easiest benefit is that. Like, if I am more myself, I can act like a human being. I think it's quite beneficial, because then we don't have this incongruence between who we are at work and outside work, and then, you know, conflicts in our psychological state. So that would be my simple answer. I find it funny, but also very relevant that since like 5-6 years ago, we have been talking about being human at work. It just makes me laugh each time. But at the same time, it's relevant, right? We need to be human at work. But as if we were robots in, to start with, right? So that idea for me is quite ironic that we are talking about being human at work. Yet, I also love the idea because that is the challenge in our work environments. We need to bring our human nature, our normal selves that are not newly created personas that don't have hearts, you know. So that's kind of for me the big simple answer for that. The second way of thinking about this is compassion is a very powerful emotion. It is, or empathy, or actually care. You can take it from different angles. When we feel somebody else cares about us, we feel hurt, we feel valued, we feel we can be ourselves. That unlocks the power of anybody's potential. So if we show that to others, it creates the right work environment. So that's very important in that sense. And also if we show that to others, we create better connections, which also rewards ourselves. When we have more trust and better connections, we create more of those good hormones that our body needs, and we end up being happier in life. And if I could push this even further, happiness increases success and health, not the other way around, not success increasing happiness, but it's happiness increasing success. So there are so many benefits if you look at all of that.
So it's a question that is probably very current right now with the theme of COVID-19, the pandemic. How can you possibly be compassionate at work in a digital area? So when you see people face to face, you help them, you want to care for them. How do you do that online, like in a Zoom session, or and what is probably, there's like two folds to this question. Did you observe from your work, probably working with quite a lot of leaders, any major negative collateral impacts of the shift from office to a lot hybrid online? And if yes, how do you apply compassion in that setting, right?
Yeah, that's it. It's a big challenge, I guess, for some leaders. The negative impact I have seen is that because we have so many meetings now, I think being in the virtual world created the need for having more meetings than usual. You can't just go simply ask someone something and be done with that request. So we put meetings in the calendars. So that the fact that we have a lot more meetings made people extremely focused on running through their agenda in the meeting, which eliminates that real sense of hearing each other, understanding where we are, and etc. So I think you would know this as a coach, that people are suffering from that because they feel they don't really connect with people. Compassion starts with connection, in my opinion. And if you don't connect, you don't really hear the other person easily. And then if you don't listen or hear really, it's hard to become compassionate. So that is, I think, the big negative effect. What can leaders do about it is maybe the first thing they need to do is to be aware of that when they are just going to meetings and asking people, have you done this, or are we doing this, and is this done, etc. Okay, that's fine to get the work done, but make sure you have at least a few minutes to connect in the beginning or the end of the meeting. So that could be the simple tactic. On the other side of actually of the positive of the virtual world, actually you can still be really, really compassionate and connected, and sometimes even better when people are at their home in a more safe place where they feel they won't be heard by someone else outside the room and stuff, it might actually be easier to connect as well. And I guess from leadership perspective, what it requires is just that awareness that leaders need to connect with people at the individual level more and understand where they are and how they are feeling. I think that emotion, we talked about this earlier, like, do we just talk about emotions when we talk about compassion or not? I think, similar to my answer to compassion, emotions are important. And I also would classify emotions as healthy and unhealthy ones. So at work, if there is an emotion, let's say my football team lost a game and I was really annoyed. Let's suppose that. I'm not a big football fan, but I'm just making this up. Let's suppose my football team loses a game and I'm angry and I come to a meeting with you and I just, you know, expose you to that anger, which is not nice. That's an unhealthy emotion that I bring to the world context, work context. But if we are working together and I got mad about something you said because it hurt me or whatever, bringing that to the conversation is good. It's healthy to talk about emotions then, because it's actually helping you move forward in your relationship with that person at work. So again, how you do it is a different story. Maybe some people can do it in a very emotionally intelligent way, do it in a balanced way, versus the others won't. But yeah, I think it's also important to look at emotions at work and see how people are feeling.
I have probably another couple of questions, but depending on the time, we might actually just ask one last. So I probably will pick the following one. Imagine there's a spectrum. Yeah. So the bottom of the screen here is a spectrum. On one side, it's about the others. On the other side, it's about me as a leader. And the middle is the tipping point. To what extent should you be? So I'm going to mix and use that concept of self-compassion versus compassion. Yeah. To what extent can you allow yourself, can you afford to not forget yourself, but to shift from self-compassion to compassion? Or should it actually be a parallel track? How do you see this relationship? Is there even a relationship? And to what extent are you reaching, and if there is there a tipping point from self-compassion to compassion?
Really good question. Again, I would say, yeah, that's an interesting angle to look at it. I don't see it as two different parts of the equilibrium. They are parallel, in my opinion. I feel someone who doesn't have self-compassion won't easily be able to give compassion to others, show compassion to others. That's my feeling. But compassion, self-compassion doesn't mean selfishness either. I think there is the where it gets sometimes a bit blurry for some people, because yeah, sometimes people interpret selfishness as, oh, I'm just taking care of myself as well. So where is the boundary? That's very hard to, I think, draw that boundary. Only the person going through it could know it. It comes to that maturity in that person, which is tough, I guess. But I would say focusing on others is also something good for one. What I mean is, if I'm adding value to others, it makes me happier, it makes me more energized. As long as it's that healthy balance that I mentioned, healthy compassion, meaning I'm not giving away from myself, going so much further, which hurts me, just to help others, right? Giving in a balance is interesting. I don't know if you read Give and Take from Adam Grant, there he talks about this, you know, the Giving Tree, the famous children book in the US. That Giving Tree is actually a book where actually teaches children that parents give so much from themselves, including. and they sacrifice so much from their own life that actually it's not healthy. It's not healthy giving. I think as long as it's healthy giving, it's well balanced. So that's where I would end that. I know we're almost out of time.
You have shared so much. I just want to say thanks on behalf of whoever is watching or listening. That was really exciting. There's a lot that I'm taking away with me. And one thing in particular that I kind of was quoting is, compassion starts with connection. Yeah, with the self probably, but also with others. And also, there's so much resonance in the word healthy. It's about a healthy compassion. So thanks so much, Dr. Burak Kuyunsu. It was exciting. I hope our listeners and whoever is watching are going to appreciate that as much as I did. And I will say goodbye and see you soon. Bye.
Thank you. See you soon.